Well, it's time to go to the movies here on RM Breakfast, and there's a new film out this week about the co-founder of Apple, Steve Jobs, titled Steve Jobs. RN film critic Jason DeRosso, he presents the final cut here on RN. Jason, hello there.
Yeah, g'day. It's quite a sort of straightforward name, I suppose. You know, and the film indeed sort of does what it says on the can, I guess. It is indeed a film about Steve Jobs. But I guess with one key difference, and that is that it doesn't really try and tell the whole story of Steve Jobs' life. I think the really interesting thing about this is that it's structured around these key product launches during his career across about a span of about 14 years. And essentially, you know, more than a film about tech, it's like a film about the theatre, because each product launch is like a piece of theatre. And you might remember, you may have seen the product launches online. They were highly staged, choreographed affairs.
And he was a superstar, right?
Yeah, he would go on stage, and his performance, like a kind of ringmaster in presenting these new products to the world, was as important as the product itself, you could argue. So this film sort of has all that sort of backstage intrigue, the last minute prop malfunctions, the arguments over rewrites of the script that you expect in a way of a film about the theatre. But I think beyond that, what it's doing is that it's presenting Steve Jobs as a performance, and Michael Fassbender playing Steve Jobs is very much a man who is performing one image to the world, and backstage is often not a very nice person. He's a guy with a plethora of pop psychology character flaws. You know, he's a workaholic, he's a misogynist, he is a neglectful father, he's someone who abandons his friends often. And the only sort of counterbalance in the film is Kate Winslet's character, who plays a real-life figure who was actually the marketing manager of Apple, and she's kind of like this voice of conscience that manages to get his ear from time to time. But anyway, I think some of the great things about this script is when Steve Jobs, played by Fassbender, is just so mean. And I'm going to play a clip here where he's talking to Catherine Waterson, who plays his ex-girlfriend and the mother of his child, at a very early point in the film where Steve Jobs is still actually denying paternity. Here we have a clip of that encounter.
Jobs insists, I'm quoting,
I didn't invent math,
28% of the male population of the United States could be the father.
I wasn't saying you slept with 28% of American men. I was using an algorithm based on the blood test, which said there was a 94.1% chance that I'm the father.
You're trying to publicly paint me as a slut and a whore.
Believe me, I'm not trying to publicly do anything with you.
2 million people read Time. How am I supposed
to? It would be more if they put me on the cover, but Dan Kotke decided to kidney punch me. I'm sorry?
I said I applied for welfare yesterday. The Time article said your Apple stock was worth $441 million. And I wanted to ask you how you felt about that.
Well, I feel like Apple stock has been dramatically undervalued. This would be a good time to get in.
So there you go. He's a real a-hole. Yeah. But, you know, it's written by Aaron Sorkin and, you know, the creator of The West Wing and you know, shows like Newsroom. He's a guy with a sentimental touch, I think. He admires the men at the top of the food chain. So you can expect a kind of redemptive arc in this film, which I think, oh, my pen just went flying in the studio. But it actually
in
means...
In a redemptive arc?
it did. But it means, I think, that there is some kind of interest in watching this relationship, especially between Steve Jobs, Michael Fassbender, and Kate Winslet's character kind of develop, and seeing her kind of try to rein in this narcissism and this ego. But a fine film, I think. I was really surprised by this, given how much I thought that the film starring Ashton Kutcher, which came out about 3 years ago, called Jobs, was really quite dismal and bland.
Yeah.
This one's kind of fun, and as I say, it has all that sort of intrigue and, you know, backstage sort of the backstage comings and goings of a kind of film about show business, really, which I think gives it a really sort of nice feel, a sort of fun, zippy vibe.
Okay, look, we've just got a minute or so left. There's another film out this week. It's about a self-help author suffering a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
But it's taken a really novel approach to this. What is it?
Look, it's actually performed as kind of puppet theatre, really. It's a stop-motion film containing puppets and humanoid sort of robots voiced by mostly the same actor, except for the lead actor. who's voiced by David Sewlis, the British actor, and the other lead character, Jennifer Jason Leigh. It's about a one-night stand between this best-selling author, who's actually, whose specialty is actually writing about customer service, and a one-night stand he has with a young, naive telemarketer who's come to this conference to see him speak. This is a very grim film from Charlie Kaufman, the guy who wrote, you know, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, directed Synecdoche, New York. It is not an easy film to watch. It's a film that sort of blurs the lines between a really dark nightmare reality or subjective reality and something that I guess resembles reality. A critique of American capitalism, perhaps willfully pessimistic, certainly misanthropic, but I think it's worth a look. And it's up for an Oscar for Best Animated Film.
Okay,
I think
great.
It's worth a look. It's called Animalisa.
Animalisa. Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
Jason Ross De Rosso. And you can hear more from Jason on The Final Cut on RN tomorrow morning at 11:30.